Hello, extra time.
Are you part of the league not to get a hoy? Because it damages your reputation. It makes people, when they read it, just laugh at you.
See, you've got them playing in the League One, and they're playing in the Europa League, and they're credit and the game in this country. Maybe we should let them in Canada to manage the Irish team.
You're very welcome back to the Extratime.ie Sportscast. It is lovely to have you all here. Can't believe we're finally listening to that great little tune there with Dunphy screaming about Stephen Kenny at the start there, and finally getting back to some League of Ireland action. Never thought it would happen. We hit all of those Italian 90 shows. I never felt like that one would end, if I'm honest. Hopefully you've enjoyed them. Do go back and have a listen if you've not. But returning from their exile after the Italian 90s shows are Mokhtar Fairs and Andrew Dempsey. I may well have to insert some rapturous applause here, lads, for your grand return. We're all pretty used to listening to fake crowd noise at this point, so might not be even detected, to be honest. How has the enforced off season been on the two of you?
We're just delighted to be back to actually talk about real football. I was watching a bit of Major League Baseball over the weekend, where not only did it have fake noise, the fake crowds in the grounds, which is completely bizarre. Plus, a couple of teams have got COVID, so maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Yeah. Is that the FIFA style thing where they have the computer generated crowds?
Yeah, it's bizarre. But they only have it in every now and again. The game I was watching, which was the Chicago Cubs game, Wrigley Field. And like every other shot was just like boundless, empty stadium bar. Anyone who kind of knows a little bit about baseball might know there's these Wrigley rooftop seats. So across the street from Wrigley Park, there's these tall buildings where people have built up tiered seating, and you can buy a ticket to watch a game. So you can do that in the normal season. But safe to say they were full of real people on Saturday night, who I can only imagine how much it was to get a ticket for those. So we're not advocating people hiring cherry pickers or anything like that to go. We're going to be talking about Watch LOI in a lot of detail. So yeah,
they won't need to. They'll be the old classic standing in a tree looking over the low part of a stadium or something like that. My favorite thing to see. Andrew, have you been? I know you've been fairly busy. I've seen you pretty much picking up all of the slack that a few of us have maybe let go in the off season. You've been a busy man. How are you keeping?
Yeah, good. Finished with the long reads on the site, so I looked at. Oh God, I think it was a Cove's first division title win in 07. That was really, I thought that was a really good piece. I really enjoyed writing about it anyway. Then the UCD 2009 piece. We're looking at the side that won it.
Yeah, that was some team, Andrew. I enjoyed reading that one.
Absolutely. I think 55 medals have been won since then by the players that side. So
I've noticed an increase in these long reads. Those who haven't subscribed to The Athletic are going to be like, what the fuck is going on here? But anyway, right, well, we've managed to talk about long reads and baseball, and we've not yet jumped into League of Ireland. We're nearly 3 minutes back on the show, so let's do it. Let's talk about Watch LOI. Are we feeling pretty excited? Are we pessimistic? Are we a little bit peeved that it's taken a global pandemic, practically wiping out a chunk of each team's income to eventually sit down and figure this one out?
Well, I like the idea of even just, when the games are, there's plenty of games that are live on Irish television during the year when there is no pandemic. But if we're League of Ireland fans, you're at a game normally on a Friday night. And so you don't actually get to see the live game. So I think having the games, two games on Friday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday, effectively, and staggered kickoff times, actually gives the opportunity to see other games. And that means the pass, which, it's €55 if you're based here in Ireland, makes it great value that you're able to see all the Premier Division games. We'll talk a little bit about the First Division later on. So, and then some of the games are on RTE, and then there are games that are on air, and those games, if they're on air, won't be available on the pass in Ireland. But if you're overseas, the €69 pass will do you all the games. So, I think it's tremendous value. And they're obviously pushing it hard this week because this is funding the fact that these games are behind closed doors. This streaming service is essentially funding, the FAI, and the money is coming into the clubs to try and help them through the shortened season. The fact that there are no fans for this initial stage, and there might be, we've got 200 fans allowed in the minute, maybe 500 at a later date to be confirmed. All that remains to be seen. So it's really important that people probably get behind it. But I think if you're into League of Ireland, you're going to be either buying your pass or your season ticket holder. And the the clubs, I think all the clubs, if you're season ticket holder, you're getting your pass for free and maybe a couple of extra things like money off your season ticket next season, things like that.
Yeah, it's I tell you what, the way it's come about, I think, is pretty exciting considering, and as an avid fan who would follow mostly every bit of news that was coming through, I have to say I got bored out of my teeth during this enforced off season by the constant discussion or sort of, no real foundation to a lot of what was being said. It was just ideas being floated around for what felt effectively like months. We had Quinn out doing interviews, which you'd read, but then kind of a little bit after go, I don't think any of that's going to happen. So when it felt like nearly I started paying attention a bit again and Watch LOI sort of just popped up. I know it had been kind of mooted, but it did feel a little bit sort of out left field. So I'm kind of nervously excited now. One side of me can't wait to, essentially, as you said, have all those options when we can't essentially get to the games. But another side of me is worried that there is going to be an element here that whoever wants to beat the League of Ireland with a stick will be able to use this as an excuse to say, look, the demand isn't here for this or that. Maybe it's a good barometer for showing just what kind of demand there is for future plans. Or do you think this is it? Do you think we've got the streaming service now available here? This won't go away even when fans return.
Yeah, do we think it's going to continue next season when crowds are back in, fingers crossed and all that? I think it probably will, because the technology will be there. Like, they're investing in it. It's not the track champ, which people might be familiar with, the single camera kind of off a remote control going left and right, no replays, no crowd noise bar. You could hear maybe what was being talked of in the press box. Whereas this will be different. Like, RT are sending, like, they've got the commentators, you know, from across their sports department that are there. So like, so Jared Canning is doing games, so John Kenny's doing games, and Siobhan Madding is doing some live games. And there's been talk before that on the highlights package, her as live wasn't as good when her reporting was excellent. So I didn't see George Hamilton there. I think he's maybe doing the live games that are on RT as well. Mm. And they're sending their commentators to the grounds. They're not doing them back at Montrose, so they'll be able to kind of see what's going on. They've kind of said there'll be more than one camera at most games. So obviously the games that are live on television will have the multiple cameras, not as much as normal, I don't think. But they're hoping to do a little bit more, and it'll be way better than the track champ. And it'll set the bar for what we'll want to see probably next season. It was interesting to see, we're recording here on Tuesday evening, the FAI have done their Watch LOI Premier Division table. So Cork City are sitting top of that. That's the number of people that have paid for subscriptions. And that excludes the season ticket holders who, as I said, are getting tickets for free. So
is that surprising, given how Cork have started the campaign off? Is it surprising to you that people are that willing to still pile in?
Well, maybe a little bit surprising. Maybe Cork usually get, you know, usually decent crowds, especially when the team are doing well. They've only won the one game so far in the season, but it's so long ago, maybe people have forgotten about that, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'll get on this. I'll get on the stream." But I suppose it's, if you're looking at, you had to. I think when you went in and bought it, you could choose what team you wanted to do. And if you're maybe a random person that's interested in buying one in Dublin, you have your choice of what four teams to pick. Whereas if you're down in Cork, down you go. You pick Cork City. You know, maybe that's the reason why we've done it. Andrew, who did you plump for in the Premier Division?
Anyone but Cork, wasn't it?
did you say you're a Finn Harps fan? Maybe?
I'm apparently a Finn Harps fan now, because obviously they don't seem to take much notice of the First Division, unfortunately. I think it's great. The price of it's great. I think everything else, the setup of it seems great. Just the one thing that does annoy me is that there's no First Division Cup. Maybe, like, even if they could put one game a week on, maybe like one of the bigger games on a week in the First Division, that's just the one thing that annoys me. But look, bar that, look, I don't think you can really complain about it. And hopefully it starts to stay. I'd like to think it would, but then the cynical nature of me thinks, probably, look, it's probably going to be gone after all this.
I reckon O'Shane Langan's ears are burning now. He'll be, you know, sort of track champ style down with a camera himself, ready to do commentary on extratime.ie, the First Division, maybe. McGarry, do you want to come in there?
Well, just Andrew, I know that while it isn't part of Watch LOI, the First Division clubs, there are a number of first division clubs that are actually going to stream matches for their fans.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I know of I think 5 or 6 clubs that are doing it now. I think Cove have, is it Trevor Welsh doing the commentary?
Yeah,
for
I
them.
Saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's you know quite an impressive coup for them. Yeah. Obviously, I watched the Galway trial one the other day, and look, that was mightily impressive for. You know, look, at the end of the day, it's volunteers who are doing it for the first division clubs, not the likes of RTE coming to town to put cameras left, right and centre. It's volunteers who are doing it. I was really impressed that the Galway one. I'm pretty sure Longford are going to have some sort of a stream available for Friday and for the rest of the season. It's not been confirmed yet, but I think it will be confirmed soon enough. And yeah, no, I think all the other clubs are mainly going to do them, just with the exception of one or two, but I'm sure we'll see what happens in the next few days.
I'm a little bit conflicted in a way as well, because I'm thinking I'll end up, when I'm older, a League of Ireland fan, I'll be telling younger League of Ireland fans, you don't know what the Suffram is like. I used to have to watch it on XBet. I watched Limerick hammered 8-0 by Dundalk on XBet. You don't know. I had to bet €1 to watch the game. Cork are right at the top. I may as well give this Watch LOI Premier Division table for those who maybe haven't seen it. So Cork right at the top, Shamrock Rovers in second, McDarrick probably pretty happy with that. Bowes in third, Sligo fourth, Pats fifth, Shell sixth, Dundalk down to seventh, my lads. Derry in eighth, Finn Harps ninth, and Waterford in tenth. So, I think I actually haven't gotten my subscription yet. I'll get on it once we finish here. And do you know what? I'll give it Waterford right down the bottom. They need all the support they can get. So. I'm pretty just excited all in all to see what progress can be made from this. Apart from now being able to have these games, maybe at a stage further down the line when things are a little bit more back to normal, we can build on this rather than, you know, just this being the actual solution to all the problems, you know?
I think what's also handy is that the Premier League has just finished last weekend. I know there's playoffs and they're, you know, the Champions League will pick up in August, but there isn't the relentless you know, Liverpool, Manchester United, you know, Spurs, Andrews, Chelsea, you know, we can, you know, that opportunity to be able to watch match after match after match. So there is a little of breathing room just while this gets up and running. But the fact that, you know, there's always the talk about, you know, the games, a lot of the League of Ireland grounds aren't great when this on TV, and that's when the crowds are in them. So it's, they're not going to look great at all with no crowds at all. And I'm presuming RT are not doing crowd noise. So we'll have kind of echoing around. But listen, I was out at, went for a walk at lunchtime and met someone I know, go a lot of League of Ireland games. And he was like, just can't wait to see the League of Ireland back on Friday. And he's going to be watching it on the television. A few of us, Andrew and myself, are going to be in press boxes around Dublin over the next over this weekend, and we'll actually be able to get to games ourselves, so we'll feel we're in a privileged position just the way that it's set up. There's I think it's 15 journalists are allowed into the ground and 6 photographers, so the FAI produced a pretty comprehensive document over several pages going through the criteria for, you know, the arrival of teams, the different warm-ups, you know, basically the protocol about different water bottles, all that kind of stuff. You know, they're trying to put everything in place, and the clubs that are playing games this weekend are all meeting during the week, over either today or tomorrow, just to agree all the details, just to make sure everything is in place. But it does mean that I think we're looking at our roster, extra time are pretty well covered, that we'll have one person at most of the games over the weekend, so we'll be able to do our match reports and updates, but not just but from the ground, more importantly, not just off the television as well. So we'll be hoping to bring a little bit more colour for people just on the games.
The lack of crowd noise would be interesting as well. A lot of people had this discussion on a lot of the English football as well. Will you watch it with sound, or will you try and listen to what's being said? And you think back to hearing Ollie Horgan shouting work all those times.
If the microphone is in the press box, after certain goals, you'll just hear who passed the pass before the assist. It's that type of thing that we all want to know. So I don't know whether I have the commentator.
Yeah, just a lot of shuffling and panicking about who was booked.
Yes, lads, it's David Moyler. The song I did for my initiation was Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight. It goes a hip, hop, a heavy to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rock to the bam, bam, boogie to up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I'm more of a FIFA man, I'm awful at Fortnite. It goes a hip, hop, a heavy to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rock to the bam, bam, boogie to up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I don't hate Alan Pardew, even though he did headbutt me. It goes a hip, hop, a heavy to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rock to the bam, bam, boogie to up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm revving to the beat. And me, the groove, and it's gone. Bye.
Okay, well, look, let's get into a quick league catch-up then. We won't spend too long on this. Games coming up in the next few days. Again, like you mentioned, McDarrah, the fact that they're kind of spread out over the next little while as well, you'll have your Friday, Saturday, Sunday and kind of games running into Monday and all that then.
Just on that, Declan, what I noticed when the fixtures came out is it's a shortened season. We've gone to 18 games. Most teams have played 4 in the Premier Division. A few have played 5. There's very few midweek games. So there are midweek games this Monday, and they're basically for the teams that, you know, Pats are home on Monday. I think I had that right. That, you know, they're those back games. But there's very little midweek games. There's a couple more in the First Division because they've only played 3 games. So now, admittedly, there's 4 teams playing in Europe, and if they progress, then we'll have more midweek games. And there's FAI Cup, isn't it, coming up as well?
Yeah.
But there's only 6 teams playing in that in the first round. So that was just one thing that I noticed, that while the games are spread out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there won't be a lot of midweek games. There's no, Dave Donnelly's very upset, but there's no Leinster Senior Cup. There's no League Cup. The FAI Cup is only league teams, and as I say, the first round only has 3 ties in it. So I think that's probably a good thing, that there isn't so many games being squeezed in from a player welfare point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. But as we get into a quick league catch-up then, I mean, we've got to start with Sligo, who pulled off the massive bloody coup. Sligo go and grab all the headlines by going out and signing junior Agueti Osohwe. And what a signing that is for Rovers, you know? And they are Rovers in this scenario because of that massive bloody signing. But couple of points on this, right? We got to get into it before we just talk about how interesting it'll be for the club. Saw a lot of anger from maybe, I'm not sure it was fans. I know there was a lot of League of Ireland people having a word basically about the fundraising of the club, and they felt that it had all maybe been lumped on one player. I can't personally imagine that's true. I can see some discontent as well that to that idea of you cut pay or you let people go at the start and now you're signing like this. But to be fair, let's just get that out there. That was at a time when the future, the whole league was unsure. We're in a totally different scenario. Now, people are signing players again. It's fair game. I think it's pretty simple and straightforward like that. What do you guys make of the transfer? It's a bit of a surprising one.
Well, I personally think that it's a huge risk from Sligo going for him because, look, they're not in a great position in the league. And, like, what if they do go down? Like, if they do go end up in the First Division, like, I don't think he's on, you know, little money, if you get me. What if they do go down and if they put themselves at risk of obviously having to look for more money in the future, you know, like you don't want to see that.
Mm.
I see it as a bit of a risk, but obviously if it pays off, it pays off.
Yeah, it probably is a bit of a gamble, but I suppose they saw how the first 4 games of the season went and maybe they identified an option. I suppose you have to, probably a little bit naive on my side, I suppose you're second guessing no matter what you say, but it might be a bit naive to say you got to trust that the club maybe know what they're doing a little bit on this. I'd be a bit concerned for them in the sense of they had a great goal scorer last year in Romeo Parks. They were way too reliant on him. So I don't know if that's just what they're going to go for again. Judging by the first 4 league games, for those who don't remember, they lost all, didn't score until the 4th game. They probably are in pretty similar position here. Do either of you think that this... I know it's too early to be talking about, like, will this relegate them or not, but is this going to be a sort of season... defining change for them, or as I said, is it just another goal scorer in a team that wasn't really working all that well?
The difficult thing is, if you were looking at the league table in a normal season, you go, the team had lost their first 4 games, you go, not a great start, but opportunity for them to rectify it. It was why Sligo were so strong and not wanting an 18 game season, that they've only got 13 games to try and get themselves out of it, and that really just doesn't give themselves a lot of time. So they've taken a gamble, taken a punt. maybe not too much of a gamble because they've got last season's top goal scorer, but they probably just looked at him and went, listen, we've got to try and do something. It is different than any other season because there's only, you know, they've only 14 games to try and overcome. And, you know, just above them in the table is Cork City, who you're probably saying should get stronger during the season. So speculate to accumulate, and that's what they've done.
Junior won't be there for this game. I can't say Junior without thinking of Sean Connery.
Sopranos.
No, Sean Connery and Indiana Jones, because he keeps calling them Junior. And it's just in my head every time I think of it. But, yeah, he won't be around for the first game against Derry. Like, Derry would be absolutely sickened, I imagine, to see him lighted out there. So it's a good thing that he's not available. That first game back on Friday is 5:45 p.m. actually on Watch Otherwise. I better just say that. But that's because of quarantine rules, by the way. It's not that he's not moved across or whatever. It's just because of quarantine rules that Junior won't be able to play that first game. Derry will be interesting themselves. Andrew, I was mentioned this to you beforehand, Adam Hamill. Looks like he's had a pretty useful career. I can recall seeing him a few times, actually, in the Championship and League One. It's Barnsley he's largely spent a chunk of his career at, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I suppose, like, I wouldn't watch an awful lot of, obviously, Championship and League One football, but I suppose when you do, you kind of watch the playoffs. And, oh God, it must have been a few years ago now when he was with Barnsley and he ended up scoring a screamer for Barnsley in a playoff final and it was from 35 yards outside. Look, he's definitely got quality, and I think he has worked with Declan Devine before, maybe when he was in, I think, Livingston, I think, when Stephen Kenny was over there.
Yeah.
So I know the last few years haven't been exactly great for him, but for a side like there, you have Europe, I think he's definitely worth a punt.
Mm. No, he is. He's an interesting signing, all right. The other Friday game, just to touch on that, I mean, we kind of have to touch on this one mainly due to a signing that was made just today or yesterday, I can't remember. Dundalk and St. Pat's were looking pretty pally, having just handed over only Georgie Kelly from one to the other, which is, it's an interesting one. Back in the days when you weren't allowed loan players to the teams in the same division in a couple of leagues, this is a serious sign for Pats, and it really bolsters their attacking options now, you'd say, with Hale and Clark and a few others up there, isn't it?
Yeah, Pats had a huge problem last season with goal scoring. I think that it was a terrible record. I think Gary Shaw maybe got 2 goals for them and stuff like that. So to sign Kelly, who obviously just wasn't getting a look in at Dundalk and wants to, you know, knows all about Stephen O'Donnell. So I think that's a really, really good signing for Pats. A lot of talk that Dave McMillan might be coming back to Dundalk. And I suppose it'd be remiss if we just didn't maybe just pass on our sympathies to Parry Taft's family and everyone at Dundalk for the tragic loss of their groundsman up at Oriel Park. You could see the outpouring of, you know, sadness and how well regarded he was right across the league. You know, everyone around other clubs were very much aware of who Harry was. So I think it's worthwhile just kind of noting that as well, Declan.
Yeah, very much, very much. Just when you were saying Dave McMillan there, actually, another one of them, traditionally not a, you know, a player returning, acting as a new signing, not totally the case, but we didn't even really get a look at your man Kolovic, who played, I think, the last 20 minutes of the Hearts game, which was the last before lockdown. So I imagine this time is going to have helped him settle in a bit with the team. And so he could be very, very interesting if he's in right from the start. Now, it could be a little while, but don't forget, they did pay for him. There's no team, I imagine, bar probably Sligo, who were happy to have this break. But we go back to the Dundalk Rovers game just before everything closed down again. Like, I did have some harsh criticisms of Dundalk that night. I can't remember if we talked about them in the podcast or what, but certainly they looked a fair cut below Shamrock Rovers on that night, I thought. So I wonder, I imagine it can't have done Dundalk too much harm, to be honest.
No, the only thing about the break is that, you know, they dumped the top four cup once we knew, right, okay, the league can start up again. But what that did mean was that Dundalk, Rovers, Bowes and Derry were able to do collective training together a little bit ahead of everyone else. And I think that it might just give a little bit of an advantage. So, you know, clubs were able to do other things. I'm not getting into anything else, but just in terms of what was the top four teams were able to get together, I think it does give just a little bit of an extra, which really the other clubs don't want, certainly Dundalk to have, and probably Shamrock Rovers as well.
Should they have had to stop training for 2 weeks before the season is the question.
Well, maybe, but I think the difficulty was for teams, you did your pre-season, you started the season, you then stopped. Like I did an interview with Darren Dillon, who's the strength and conditioning coach at Shamrock Rovers, and he was saying how when it went into lockdown, they pretty much said to the Rovers players to kind of take a break, and if they wanted to do stuff, this is kind of what they could do. But he was saying that you can't give, very difficult to give kind of professional athletes, you know, some, you know, you need to be doing this training if there's no end goal in sight. And we really didn't know when football was going to come back at that stage. And when it just looked like, okay, it looks like it's going to come back. And then suddenly, like, the Bundesliga was back, and it came back really soon. And people probably saw there was a lot of injuries. Now, I know there was increased substitutions as well, but there was a lot of injuries because the players just came back straight away. But it meant that once that kind of date, you kind of knew, okay, looked like football was going to come back the end of July, teams were able to kind of pick up the training. But nothing beats the collective training. And then there's been a number of kind of pre-season friendlies as well. So it'll probably be a little bit of advantage to those top four teams, but maybe not too much.
Well, just look a few more stories then before we wrap up here for what's just been a bit of a catch-up, I suppose, considering we haven't podcasted in a while. Want to talk a little bit about Waterford with the new manager and Alan Reynolds departing. Let's start with Alan Reynolds moving across to Dundalk, jumping ship there, and also taking up a position with the FAI. Thoughts on that one? Bit disappointing from a Waterford point of view.
Oh, I'd say they're very disappointed. Now, we can talk about John Sheridan, who's come in as manager, but just to Reynolds has done very well at Waterford over the last few years. But great opportunity for him to go and work with the Ireland under 21 team that are, you know, are on a very good chance of getting through to the finals, and then going to work with the perennial champions, Dundalk. You know,
does it smack a bit of, though, that we knew that Waterford were hoping for that European place last year, it didn't happen, and does it smack a bit of I don't know, that he's been a bit let down, or that he's not particularly happy with how things are?
Well, I know you're not blaming Reynolds for Waterford not being in Europe last year, but it must have been, you know, very, very difficult. And then what that did was have a knock-on effect on what type of squad they could have, even finishing out the season and coming into this season as well. Whereas, you know, you're going up to Dundalk, and you've got Champions League coming next month. Like, it's while Dundalk have lost the likes of Rory Higgins and Stephen O'Donnell, like, they've gained Alan Reynolds, and of course Shane Keegan is their opposition analyst as well in Dundalk. So it's, you know, it's a very good setup that they have up there. So, but it's disappointing for Waterford. I'm sure they would have wanted to hold on to him, but, you know, John Sheridan is a very very experienced manager and player as well. So that was quite a coup to get him in.
Yeah, it feels like we've only been talking about John Sheridan in the Italian 90 pod, so it felt like we'd summoned him there. I suppose there's not really too many more stories to talk about that. I did want to very briefly ask you, McDara, because you did quite a lot of talk with the Shamrock Rover players and coaches in these last few months, I suppose. So you might be in an interesting place to tell us what you think this time has done to their chances of challenging, I suppose. And also, a big downside for them is that they've lost Greg Bolger for quite some time, it seems. Although it looks like Sean Kavanagh's back as well.
Yeah, so they would have. Sean Kavanagh had knee surgery actually after the end of last season. He was actually injured in the FAI Cup final. He got injured the week before, so he needed knee surgery. So he was never available for the start of the season, but he is back training. So they hope to have him involved. It was a little bit difficult for recovery, having to do physio sessions over Zoom in the likes of the March and April lockdown, where you couldn't do anything. So Kavanagh is available, but Bolger is a big loss. He was a really important contributor to Rovers last season. But they have a wealth of talent in midfield, but you want everyone available. They seem to be carrying a few knocks as well. I think Graham Burke might be carrying a knock. Bit of talk, maybe even Jack Byrne mightn't be fully fit. So there's a few bits and pieces. I'd be interested to see the team news coming out just the end of the week of who was available. But yeah, it seemed like Bolger they called it a serious leg injury in one of the preseason games, and saying that he was out for the rest of the season. Of course, the season is only another 4 months in terms of, if you'd said that, you know, out for the season after five games, at another stage, you'd be going on at something more serious. But yeah, a bit of a obviously disappointing for him and for Rovers fans.
The Shamrock Rovers are back in action then on the Saturday, 5 o'clock. They're up against Finn Harps. So I saw, I know there's a promotional video of the FAI doing the rounds. A glorious, glorious video. So fair play for that. But I also did see that Finn Harps had done their own little promotional video. It was sort of sounded like the music from The Dark Knight, with that sort of deep voice trailer guy who does the, you know, this summer, the really deep voice. So that was excellent as well. Looking forward to seeing how Finn Harps kick back into action as well. So that's a game on Saturday at 5. We mentioned Waterford a moment ago. They take on Shell Saturday at 2. And then the Super Sunday game, lads, because it is third, versus first in the Watch LOI table on Sunday. It's Bowes versus Cork. Probably get the record amount of hits, you'd imagine that one. We'll have to wait and see if they keep... I tell you what, I want them to keep up this table. Keep the competitiveness going. Make more people... feel like they have to get involved and watch. But there was obviously a couple of interesting stories on their side just before we wrap up. Obviously, the speculation about Danny Mandrew, which I think I'm right saying came from our own Dave Donnelly, linking them to FC 20.
I'd been talking to someone the previous 24 hours saying that Extra Time, we don't really go into transfer speculation. And then it was like we were just getting all these hits from the Netherlands as Dave wrote the story that there seemed to be some interest from FC 20 in Mandreos. So
yeah, if we want to be careful, because if we go back to the last significant interest a Dutch person had in an Irish player was that FIFA player who was interested in Carl Shepherd over here, who I think we asked Carl about him on the show, and he was unfortunately aware of him. He was selling shirts and all about Shepherd, I believe. So yeah, it's a pretty interesting link on the same. Good little move for Danny if it does come apart. Thoughts on Bowes using the Aviva, actually, for their home ground in Europe?
Yeah, just reading Neil Reardon had a piece in The Sun about this. Just as a concern that in relation to COVID, where, you know, you need your physical distancing, like for the games that are this weekend, the players aren't going to shower after the games. They're going to head off in their gear. So all that kind of stuff. But for the European games, the just concern is the Daily Mail might meet all the requirements, particularly around COVID. And there seems to be discussion possibly about Oriel Park as well. Whereas if they go to the Aviva, much bigger changing rooms, you know, their changing rooms are even, you know, geared up for rugby teams, you know, big squads, big men. So much more like that. And then the other thing is that, you know, if you're a Bohemians fan, you can't go to the games. These European games will be behind closed doors. Whatever the Irish government decide, UEFA have made decisions. These games are behind closed doors. So it's not as if you're kind of giving away your home advantage and you can't, if you're a fan, you can't walk down the road and go into the Jody and watch the game, as opposed to, you know, going across to the Aviva. Not that it's that far away. But so that's what the thinking is. I did see some wags having the laugh that if they get there, it'll be the first time that Bowes will play a competitive game in the Aviva Stadium. But all joking aside, they won't.
For you to bring that up.
I know, yeah. But all joking aside, they won't have played a game there. They won't have been in the dressing rooms. Like, more than likely, they'll probably go and have a visit. I know Shamrock Rovers did that ahead of the cup final last year against Dundalk. Dundalk well used to playing in the Aviva Stadium. Rovers weren't. And during the week ahead of the cup final, Rovers just went down and had a look and had a walk around. So there is a bit of that. The home advantage, because I did write about this during the lockdown, big thing about the home advantage, and it's something I'll be looking on when the league is back as to what the percentage rate of home wins is. But the advantage you get from being at home is actually from your own fans influencing the referee and a bit of unconscious bias kind of thing. So whether the game is going to be in Daily Mount or in the Viva, you won't have that because there's not going to be a crowd there. So I think it makes sense, and it'll look really good on television if they get that that home draw. Just a reminder for people, those European games are one-legged. There'll be a draw to decide whether you're home or away.
Quick one for you, actually. Just as I mentioned Super Sunday, I know the Shamrock Rovers 2 or II or whatever we're calling them these days are also playing at 3 o'clock. Do you get the 2-for-1 with the Watch LOI stream the way you would have at for the season ticket?
Not because they're not because it's First Division Declan, so no. But if you're concerned about it...
Shit value.
please look at extra time on Sunday, because I'm in the press box for this one. Did we just want, just one of the things I wanted to notice about, or just say about Cork, just that, you know, there's been a few transfers in and out, and on extra time we've been doing these restart club previews, and we've got, I think we've probably got 11, maybe 11 up at this stage, but Graham Cummins has gone back to Cork City from Waterford as a centre half. So he had been playing centre half with Waterford.
Can't think of too many others who've made the old move to centre back. Chris Sutton and Dion Dublin stick in my head. That's the only. Gary Doherty went the other way. He made the move up top.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. And I've been reading with interest and listening with interest. Graham Cummins has been writing in the Irish Examiner and has been doing. I'm going to promote another podcast. Well, their legacy podcast, but he's been doing some really good podcasts over the last few months. Different interviews with players. So he's using his connections from his time over in England as well. So, but yeah, it is move back from centre half to from centre forward to centre back. Yeah, it doesn't happen too often.
Speaking of promoting another podcast, we have to give a little mention to Crawley's Call. As our Dave Donnelly called it, Alan Cawley's podcast. And I only do this because each of the individuals on that podcast has actually joined us on this, and we've worked with them in some capacity before. So, and they're all very good lads. So they you know, I actually haven't listened yet, but I will when they get the answer. I'm sure it's very good. But, right, we probably better leave it there, because this roundup went on quite a lot longer than I thought it would be. Here's me thinking, we don't have a whole lot to...
No, Declan, we're just desperate to talk League of Ireland football.
I know, and this is what
it's
I was thinking.
It's not the first division, you know.
Yeah, well, that is the little asterisk I want to put beside this. We're not going to be ignoring the first division. This is very much a warm-up act to everything that's going to come. We still got Treaty United coming back, lads. You know what I mean? That I guarantee you, that'll be like almost certainly first guest on here if I get my way. I'm very excited about that. But there is obviously a first division we have to talk about, so we'll be absolutely piling in on that the next few weeks as well. Andrew, very much make sure that I'd be cracking the whip. Gentlemen, thank you for coming back on and not being snarky about being kicked off for the month we did the Italian 90 podcasts.
I just enjoyed listening to them. So yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm wearing my West Germany jersey.
Oh, lovely.
We're on our Zoom call here.
Lovely. I'm not sure if this is probably more of a visual thing. A nice little warehouse clearing New Ireland kit, because I'm sure they're announcing one next week. Got the message that, yeah, they're going for about 50% of what they were. So I said, go on, why not? Haven't bought an Ireland jersey in years. Big ugly tree symbol on the front. Right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Look, we'll be back and we'll probably speak a hell of a lot more about Watch LOI in the next few weeks. Hopefully you've signed up, you enjoy your game, and we'll be back next week. It was that time that Dutch FIFA player loved Carl Fletcher and he kept picking him all the time, and we ended up using a clip of his.
Well, yeah.
They asked Carl about this. He, I can't say, I've used Carl Fletcher again, haven't I?
Yeah, you did.
I was only thinking of that Dutch guy earlier and I was like, who was he following? Carl Fletcher? No, Carl Shepherd. Say Shepherd later. right.
This is where you put in the sting where you were supposed to be talking about Walter Zenga and you talked about the Zenga bus.
Yeah, as Walter Zenga makes a sort of a rare stylistic save. It's a free kick that comes in originally. He makes a pretty solid save, but it rebounds out to the onrushing Peter Vermes. And Vermes hits a low effort as Zenga rushes out, and it comes off the perineum. I'm going to say it like that. I mean, the ball hits his gooch and rolls to a stop before the line as the Italian defender lofts it clear. So if not for Wenger's gooch, Italy might be in a bit of trouble here. But it finishes 1-0. And
did you just call Walter Zenga Walter Wenger?
I don't think so, but if I did, it was a Freudian slip. Let me go with that again, maybe.
No, I'd keep this in.
No.
Definitely not. I'm sick of Dave throwing the Carl Fletcher. I'll put it in at the end, maybe, so you can get a little listen to that after.